one more sleep. Can you believe it? It's been 7 weeks since we kicked off Rugby World Cup 2023, and we are down to this, the decider, Saturday night in Paris, the Springboks, the defending champions, taking on the mighty All Blacks, their biggest rugby rivals. It's as big as it gets. It's one of the biggest games in South African rugby history, and we are bringing you a special edition of the Inside Pass, your daily dedicated Rugby World Cup podcast. We've been doing this for you since the start, and it's been so much fun. And look at us, Mostert. Look where we are. We've got artists in the studio. Look at us today. We've got the boys from Sunset Sweatshop who will be joining us a bit later. We'll be playing some of their music as well, building up to just what is a fantastic day of rugby we're expecting tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely. It's flown by these 7 weeks, and the biggest game in 28 years for South African rugby fans. So, yeah, lots to look forward to.
The class of 2019 might disagree with you, but that wasn't the All Blacks. There's something special about the All Blacks.
Yeah, look, the class of 2019 didn't have as tough a draw as the class of 2023 has
had.
That is
true.
Obviously, looking back to 95, the Box played, had a very tough semi against France. They had a tough opening game against Australia, which they were the number one team in the world back then. Obviously, to beat the All Blacks in the final is the ultimate. And I think this is the real deal tomorrow. You know, whoever wins this World Cup can rightly claim to be the best in the world, no doubt.
Outside of the music and an interview with the boys from Sunset Sweatshop that Joel Ontong from News 24 will host in a bit, we're also very lucky to have a couple of former Box on the line with us that we're hoping to speak to today. We're going to start with former World Cup captain Corne Kricker, who obviously took the Box to the 2003 World Cup, and then the famous, likeable, always bubbly Skulk Brits, who of course was a Rugby World Cup winner in 2019. He'll be joining us a little bit later. But what we can do right now is go to Mr. Kricker. If you haven't met him, he's just one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. He's helped us out on podcasts at News 24 a couple of times. Corne, good to hear from you again. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Only a pleasure.
I'm joined by Hammond Mostert in studio, so we'll both just fire off a couple of questions to you. I mean, first things first, Corne, geez, what did you make of that team? You know, I suppose there's not really any surprises left when it comes to Rassie and Jacques, because they're so out the box all the time and almost reinventing the wheel. But when you saw 7-1 yesterday, I mean, what did you make of that?
As you said, you know, no surprises when it comes to Rassie and Jacques, you know, but they... that kept the whole world on their toes, and that's maybe why most people don't really like us South Africans. So, they've been incredible, and you know, setting the standard, you know, and changing rugby in a way. So, 7-1 split is a bit of a risk, but yeah, it's still if there's one team that can pull it off, it's us.
Corne, it's Armand here. Morning, how are you?
How are you, Herman?
Great, thank you. Obviously, wet weather expected tomorrow. It's been raining the whole week in Paris. One would think that the Box picking the 7-1 bench split, which has obviously been the talk of the town, do you think the wet weather would favour South Africa's way of playing, or is it just going to be maybe a bit of a leveller?
Yeah, it's always a leveler, but it always plays into the hands of the one with the strongest back. And there's no doubt, you know, that most teams in the world can match our first back, but never our second back, you know. So that's the key. And then we saw that in the last game when Oxenche came on, you know, they made such a big difference that, you know, we got two penalties and a turnover scrum, which won us the game. Which, you know, that's exactly what Rassie wanted, and he did it for us.
Yeah, certainly. So, Corne, looking at the Springbok loose trio, obviously you played flanker as well, and we've got obviously our skipper Sia is playing basically in the same jersey as you played in 20 years ago. What do you make of our loose trio, and especially Sia and the way he's led that team over the last 5 years now?
I think we've lost Corne for a bit. It did sound like he was struggling a bit there. But I was interested, Mostert, to ask him that as well, because, I mean, Sia's just been immense, hasn't he? I mean, if you look back, we don't know what Sia's future holds, do we? I mean, there's been nothing official. You know, there are a couple of retirements. We're expecting Dwayne to leave, and, you know, Faf de Klerk was speaking in the press yesterday saying maybe, you know, this could be his last one, but we're not actually sure if this could be the end of Sia Khaleesi, regardless of what happens. You know, he'll go down as, sure, one of the great boxers of all time, potentially the greatest box captain of all time. If he wins this tomorrow, his legacy as the greatest box captain of all time is solidified, I think, and also goes down as one of the best test captains of all time. I think we've got Corne back on the line. Corne, did you get that? We're just talking about Sia and how instrumental he's been to the box over the last kind of 5-6 years.
Yeah, I did get the question. You know, he's such an inspirational leader, and he doesn't always have to play well. And despite his injury, his form has been incredible. And in the last game, he was, let's call it, slightly quiet. But boy, his presence in that team makes a huge difference. And the Lustro, I really like the Lustro as they are at the moment, because they complement each other. You know, and they have different strengths. And you know, it's just great to see them when they play, and also when Kwakha and the other players come on, you know, they really do make a difference.
Mm. Obviously, seven forwards have to come on at some point during the game. Would you agree that Peter Steff du Toit is probably the likeliest player in that starting pack to stay on the field and play the full 80 minutes, given what they have available to them on the bench?
Yeah, I think so. You know, you'd think that that they'd always leave the captain on right till the end, but even in 2019, that often happened, that they would substitute Sia. And, you know, so, yeah, he's probably the likeliest to stay on. I agree with you.
And what's excited you, Corne, about, you know, watching Jacques and Rassie and how this team has metamorphosized over the last 6 years? You know, it's probably playing nothing fundamentally different. The basics are still the basics for this team, but certainly they seem to have transformed a bit in the way that they approach. You've had Marnie come in and do things a bit differently. What's excited you about watching the way that the box have changed under Rassie and Jacques since the last World Cup?
I think the thing that's probably changed the most is the fact that we always have an edge. We're a little bit like the All Blacks of old, you know, who just never gave up, who would never accept defeat, and even in the last minute we could win games, and that's exactly what we've done in the last two games, you know. So, that's a mental dimension, not necessarily a rugby dimension, but geez, you know, that's one of the most important things when it comes to any sport is right towards the end of any game. You need to mentally be strong.
Corne, the box have shown that they've added a dimension or two to their play. If you compare the way they played in 2019 to the way the team plays now, they've got some really exciting outside backs. Obviously with Kirtley Aronson, Cheslin Kolbe there, Damien Holmes is very exciting. They've obviously reverted back to Hundre and Faf now for the final, obviously with the wet weather expected. But do you think they could still surprise the All Blacks with something? You know, obviously the template is pretty much there with the match that they beat them 35-7 at Twickenham a few weeks back. Yeah. Do you think they're going to try mainly to replicate that, or do you think we should expect something different?
Look, it's going to be more of the same, but there's always something different, and I think that's what makes Rassie and Jacques so unpredictable. You know, is for instance, they took a tap penalty 5 meters from the line against the French, and you know, I was thought to myself, what the hell are they doing? I've never seen them ever do a tap in a 5 meter tap and go, and you know, obviously Eben Etzebeth scored from that, but they. They always bring a different dimension. They always bring something new, you know. So nobody can ever say that we're one-dimensional. You know, you've got to expect there's going to be some special trick for sure in the final.
Yeah. Looking at the scrums, Corne, obviously it was big last week when Oxenchek came on and basically destroyed the England scrum. You know, changed the complexion of that match completely. Obviously, that's an area where the Springboks will be looking to gain dominance in. But do you think the All Blacks, you know, do you think they're going to be able to do that against the All Blacks? For me, you know, the All Blacks are always a team that if you you know, if you dominate them at scrum time, they tend to play very smartly by just getting the ball in very quickly and getting it out. You know, they've got Aaron Smith, who's the scrum off, who's very smart in that part. I think England were probably guilty of trying to take the box on a little bit too long in that area, and then they got penalised. You know, the All Blacks will handle that a little bit better.
I think they will. You know, they've got very dangerous backs. You know, with Manga, Ten, who's created so many tries for them, and Will Jordan on the wing. They are very, very dangerous, and they'll look at our defence and they'll try and figure it out. The big thing is if you don't get dominance in the scrum, you know, in the past, if the Springboks didn't get dominance in the scrum, then, you know, you had a great chance of beating them. Now, we were shut against England. We never had dominance until the last 5 minutes, you know, when we had dominance and we won the game. So that's probably an extra dimension to our game that, you know, if we in the past, if we didn't dominate in the scrums and the lineups, you know, we sort of capitulated. Not anymore, you know. Even if we get parity, and we're still very dangerous. Mm.
Just two more quick ones from me, Corner, and then we'll let you go. I'm very interested to hear your views on the ref as a former Bok captain. It's Wayne Barnes this weekend, but I'd like to know, you know, how much does that play on the mind of a captain and a coach going into a test week? And this is obviously a very special test week because it's a Rugby World Cup final. But how much will these guys be thinking about Wayne Barnes as an individual, what he will bring to the game, trying to play to his kind of interpretation of the rules? How much does that weigh on the mind of a skip going into a game like this?
Look, the key for a skipper is to try and keep the referee honest in a way. You know, when he makes a mistake, you've got to let him know he's made a mistake. And without him being agitated by the fact that you made him aware of the fact, you know. So it really is, and Sia's got a very nice way with the referees. So
yeah,
I don't think Wayne Barnes is going to worry the Springboks at all. He's a very, very good referee, and all we need is for him to be fair, you know. If somebody makes a mistake on our side, you know, if they make a mistake on their side, they need to get the same penalty, you know. So. Mm. That's all we expect as South Africans, you know, and I really think Wayne Barnes is experienced. He's not going to be overwhelmed by the occasion.
Yeah.
And I really like it. I think he's a great referee.
Yeah. Lastly from me, Corday, what does 35-7 mean in the context of this game? The last time these two teams met, obviously their last game before the World Cup, I mean, the biggest defeat ever suffered by the All Blacks in their history. It really was a dark day for them. Does that mean anything now?
Yeah.
Is it the type of thing that could potentially galvanize a team having gone through a result like that? Or is it a case of them having to pick themselves up from that result? How do you see that result impacting proceedings on the weekend?
Yeah, I'd like to say that it's going to have absolutely no impact.
Yeah.
You know, but somewhere in the back of their minds, it's going to bother them at some point. You know, and if we can get early points, I think when we played them earlier in the year in New Zealand, you know, they got a 15-point head start, and I think maybe in a 17-point head start. And if the All Blacks get that, you never come back.
Yeah,
you know. So we need to start well, and I think that's why you started with Pollard. If we're going to take our 3-pointers.
Yeah,
and as soon as we get a little bit of dominance, we start kicking them in the corners and you know, forcing them to try and stop our driving more. So, yeah, no, I'm very excited about the game.
And Corday, what is your gut telling you, you know, about this one? We obviously want it so desperately, but what's your gut telling you? I mean, are we favourites to win? Yeah,
I'm very confident. You know, I think we've had the tougher route, but no doubt. You know, they also had the French in their group, but we had Ireland and Scotland, and we had to play the French. You know, so we've had really hard games in this World Cup, and we've managed to overcome them. You know, so I really believe, you know, we have what it takes, and if the ball bounces our way, I'm 100% sure we'll take.
Corner Cricker, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you taking the time wherever you end up watching the game on the weekend. I hope you enjoy it, and the Bokke do you proud.
Thanks very much.
Cheers. Mustard, we could talk to Corneille all day. I mean, he's such a well of insightful knowledge. But, you know, the one thing he said at the end there, I mean, absolutely the toughest route to a Rugby World Cup final the Boks have ever had before. If you consider 07 and, you know, playing Fiji and Argentina and they were and avoiding the All Blacks and the Wallabies, nothing against what was a brilliant Bok team in 2007, but didn't play those big nations. And in 2019, you know, you've got Japan in the quarters as well. This has been insane. I mean, you were in the pool of death. You've got through that. You've had France in the quarterfinals, one of the pre-tournament favourites, England in the semi-finals, winning by a point in both of those games, and now the All Blacks. I mean, it doesn't get tougher.
Yeah, look, in 2019, all the big talk was that we would play Ireland in the quarterfinals, and then obviously they lost to Japan in the group stages, and it meant we had to play Japan. And we'd actually thrashed Japan in a warm-up match just prior to that World Cup. So it was always going to be an easier quarterfinal for the Boks. And then obviously Wales in the semis. We actually stuttered past Wales. It was a horrible game. We like everyone wrote us off after that game. But we got through that. But it's not the toughest World Cup semi-final to play. All due respect to Wales. And then in 2007, you could argue Fiji in the quarters, Argentina in the semis, you know, again, England in the final when we'd beaten England 36-0 in the pool stages in that competition. But this time it's the real deal. You know, if we, you know, like you said, pool of death and we got out of that, you know, we I think we should have beaten Ireland in the pool stages. It was just the kicks at goal that cost us. And then two a quarter final and a semi final that might as well have been World Cup finals for us, you know, the way those games unfolded.
Yeah.
So yeah, if we win on Saturday, we're certainly gonna deserve it.
Yeah. Let's take a break from the rugby now and listen to a song called B1 from Sunset Sweatshop, who are in the studio with us. When we come back from listening to the song, which is making waves and has become somewhat of an anthem building up to Rugby World Cup final week, with fans certainly enjoying that on Spotify. Joel Ontong from News24 will be interviewing the lads from Belleville, and that'll be coming up after this. We'll chat in a bit. My brother, will you be my brother? I see people laughing, I see people dancing. Step out of the window and into the sun. South Africa, South Africa. Step out of the window and into the sun. South Africa, South Africa. South Africa. Come with me, my sister. Will you be my sister? I see children laughing, I see children playing. Step out of the window and into the sun. South Africa, South Africa. South Africa, South Africa. Munyisi ndawonye, munyisi ndawonye. B1, share your heart with the land we love. Share your heart with the land we love. Share your heart with the land we love. South Africa, South Africa. Africa.
South Africa.
Okay, so we're in studio with the band, and first of all, guys, just tell me about the story behind B1, because obviously it's more than, I feel like it's more than a World Cup song, it's really a love letter to the country, so tell us more about it.
Okay, so this song, what's up, how's it going?
Going good.
So I wrote this song about 6 to 7 years ago, and I actually wrote it for Madiba Day a while back, and we never got to studio to record the song, and then we actually went into studio and then started to realize that this thing will actually be lacquer to release when the World Cup is pending or ongoing. So it was never written to be a World Cup song, but I think the people just jumped on it because it's such a unifying song. Yeah,
definitely.
Yes.
And tell me, what has the reception been like from, you know, fans? And obviously, I'm sure rugby fans have come up to you guys kind of coincidentally. So what has the reception been like?
Yeah, the reception's been amazing. I mean, even Darren Simpson said it's a great World Cup song. So even from the listeners, when they played it the first time, everyone said this will be a lekker World Cup song.
Oh. Oh, fantastic. And then what was it like to work with Refensa? Because he features on the song and he does an amazing job kind of accompanying and complementing the sound. So what was it like to work with him and how did you guys connect?
Okay, so ons het al, kan ek maar so 'n bietjie Afrikaans ook gooi as ek moet. Okay, cool man. So ons het saam met Refensa al paar shows gespeel, ons mekaar ontmoet, ons het lekker saam gejam, baie lekker paar biere saam gedrink. En ons manager Jana is sy booking agent ook, of vice versa. En toe het sy gesê, maar hoorie, as ons eendag 'n song doen, dan moet ons vir Refensa laat weet. En toe het ons nou, toe ons die song in die studio inbring, toe kom ons agter, man, Refensa sal amazing werk op die song. En toe hy in die studio inkom, toe kom ons agter hoe hy is 'n ongelooflike artist. So hy het die beste vocals en hy is net all out nice guy. Ek bedoel, een van die beste ouens wat ek al saam in die studio gewerk het, of ons althans.
Definitely. Yes. And it's interesting to hear him sing in English because, I mean, I think he's known for his Afrikaans and, I mean, he kills it, you guys too, obviously.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to know, what other artists are on your radar to also work with?
Yes, there's a couple, but there is a few, but we don't want to give anything away at the moment, yeah.
No spoilers.
Okay. No spoilers,
people
yeah.
People are surprised.
No,
I think like a fun fact would be like we work closely with Fred and Hartog on our earlier songs, and he plays for Jewels Fantasties. So, he used to produce hot tracks and stuff like that. And then Hunter Kennedy, also from Jewels Fantasties, he actually has some writing credits on our debut album.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's fun to work with those guys.
Okay, and obviously, what are some collaborations that you guys have had that you learned something from and that you've taken with you for the other part of your career?
Yeah, I think mainly in production, like I play guitar for the band, and mainly in production it's like very cool to learn from these guys. And I remember especially of the recording of B1 with Ollie Vance from Franz Hook. Then we sat and tracked the guitar and he's like, okay, but play it this way or how about this way. So it's really cool to like work with another musician and get their input, and it makes the product so much stronger, you know. So that's a lot of fun to work with other artists. It brings like a different energy and a different vibe to your own playing.
Oh, fantastic. And now I want to know about the band. Tell me, how did you guys become Sunset Sweatshop? Tell me about your story.
Hey, Richie, jy kan maar gooi, Pelle.
Well, me and Ian were in high school together. And after high school, we had a band, very Depro alternative vibes. not exactly what we're doing now. Yeah. And then Ian and Rissa used to do acoustic shows together. And then Ian decided he wanted to make the circle a little bit bigger. And then Victor was in high school with Rousseau, same year. So then we all just got together, 2016.
And I started jamming in a garage in Oostenberg Vlakte. So after the sun set, we sweat. So that's where it comes from, yeah.
And what have some career highlights been since the formation?
Yes, so we played a couple of big shows, but I think one of the biggest ones we had was the KFM K-Day. Yes, it's just a sea of people in front of you.
Yeah, well, K-Day was one massive festivals in South Africa, Splashy Fen, Up the Creek, and then also Bokkies Awards Song of the Year.
And you also get like your smaller type of festivals. We did it one in Winterton.
KZN.
And when we arrived, there was like a sunny day, and when we started sound checking, there was a massive flood. And the people, while we were jamming, were in their lilos. They were floating around.
On the dance floor.
On the dance floor, yeah. There was like knee-deep water in front of the stage.
Power cuts, experience.
Power
cuts, yeah. Yeah, I actually think Vicky dislocated his shoulder after that one.
He partied so hard that he dislocated his shoulder.
So he drove with his dance the ER in Durban.
Yeah, in Pietermaritzburg. 20 hours after I popped my shoulder. Yeah.
But I suppose those moments kind of feel quite reassuring, and that's kind of what keeps you guys going, surely. And what other things kind of are motivations for you guys to keep doing what you're doing?
Yes, if I
we've all got kids, that's motivation to do what we do.
Exactly, and I'm in the building industry as well, so music is like a massive escape for me. So that 9-to-5 grind, and then you can just release all your creativeness. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to put it. If you have a family or you have a different job, then you sort of get out of that world for maybe just a day or two, go away for the weekend with the boys. You come back home and you're refreshed, man, and it feels like, yo, now I can do another round of this, you know?
After 5 days of relaxing.
Definitely. And then my final question is, I wanted to know, this B1 and a lot of the other songs are quite uplifting and inspirational. And I want to know, what is the key to making a song that can really bring people together and uplift, I would even say, a nation, because I think B1 has uplifted a nation to a certain degree.
But as I Afrikaans is at the very heart van vol is, loop die mond van oor.
Wat die hart van vol is, loop die mond van oor.
Yes.
Yeah, I think, like, it's such an honor. I was like sitting backstage and thinking about it. Like, we grew up like watching rugby, and those memories of like watching rugby and playing rugby in the yard while your parents are braaiing and stuff is so like very part of our lives. And I think about like Springbokke songs, like that classic Leon Schuster album. I think about, like, you know, all those ones. And what's that Living Thing from Electric Light Orchestra and Johnny Clegg? And I feel like our music, it's such an honor to be like part of that World Cup history now. It's insane, man. So I think that's a cool motivation to know and to keeping it going forward.
Yeah, like a bit. Yeah,
this.
Yeah, actually, I added your song to our News 24 Springbok Rugby Anthems playlist, and it was a great addition.
Awesome, man.
Thanks, bro.
So we're going to throw it back to Lloyd and Herman. And Lloyd, I just want to say, we've been enjoying the podcast. Leandra, my editor, she's the number one fan. She's always like, we need to watch it. And she can't stop talking about it. And she really appreciated that shout out last time. What did we have to tell her that she missed that episode?
Leandra's on leave. I hope she's listening wherever she is. Jeez, thanks so much, guys. I mean, how nice are you guys? So you just brightened up the whole rugby podcast, boring old rugby chats. And then we had a nice little KO with you guys. So all the best. And just well done on the song and everything you've done. And thanks so much for popping in. Wherever you are on Saturday, enjoy the ragas.
Go Booker.
Go Booker. And after we do this, we're going to, now we're going to go and listen to some messages coming in from some South Africans, some of our readers who have sent in some voice notes wishing the Box well from various parts of the country and the world. So we're going to hear some messages of support going out to Sia and the Box as they prepare for their final tomorrow. And when we come back from that, we'll be joined, hopefully, if he's on the line, by 2019 Rugby World Cup winner Skulk Brits.
Hi, C. Anna Spinbox. Wishing you luck from Bahrain for the France Free South Africa game tomorrow. Wishing you luck from the Brotons.
Harry?
Go, Boca! Go, Boca!
Go, Boca!
Go,
Boca!
And I'm 4 years old. Go, Boca!
Good luck, Springboks, for Saturday against New Zealand. You got this.
Boca, you have united a nation, and we are so grateful for that experience. We are behind you 100% of the way. We know you can do it, and we can't wait for Saturday.
Go, Boca!
Stronger together!
Success, and we are 100% behind you. We say, we are nayo.
Thank you for Bongi. Thank you for Max. Thank you for Kaylin. Thank you for us. It's a beautiful team. It's a beautiful team. Thank you for Bongi. Thank you for Max. Thank you for Kaden. Thank you for us. It's a beautiful team. It's a beautiful team. Let's go, Rock!
Wow. Amazing goosebumps stuff there. There's nothing quite like being South African. I mean, that was just brilliant listening to the message of support from all ages coming in there. Jeez, what this team does is incredible, and you forget it sometimes, and it takes listening to clips like that to remind you. I mean, 2019, Mostert, I still say one of the, you know, personal highlights of my career was being on that bus following the victorious Springboks around South Africa in 2019 when they came back. That trophy tour, I wasn't lucky enough to be at the tournament itself, but those 5 days traveling to every corner of South Africa with that team and seeing what they did to the country, I mean, will just be something that lives with me forever. Skulk Brits was on that bus as well, and I remember spending some time with him there. And I mean, for everyone who was involved in that celebration when they came back home, it was just one of the memorable days in the history of Bok Rugby. Do we have Skulk with us, Bertram? Yeah, we do. Skulk, are you there?
I am, yeah. Hello.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking the time and joining us, Skulk. I'm not sure if you heard some of those messages of support, but I mean, you know, just looking back, thinking back to 2019, I mean, it must feel like it was yesterday. It was just such a powerful moment.
No, it was just the build-up to the World Cup was quite phenomenal. And then in the World Cup itself, the messages was replayed on our hotel screens, and just the whole experience was phenomenal. And I think if the players are going through that whole thing, luckily, is nothing new to most of the players.
Yeah. Obviously, a lot of the guys who are there now, you were with those 4 years ago and you shared that special time with. I mean, what's it like this time watching it from the outside looking in? Is it more or less stressful?
It is more stressful by a country mile. I was screaming on what was it, Saturday, watching the game against the All Blacks. I mean, in the beginning, the English supporters were quite laid back. But as soon as the game kicked off and they were leading on the scoreboard, I could not take swing low anymore because it drove me absolutely bonkers. And luckily, somehow, some way, our boys find a way to win that match.
I suppose it's also because you can't control it, right? At least when you're playing, you've got some element of control over what's happening. But when you're watching from afar, you don't have that. It's out of your hands.
Yeah, definitely. That is one of the frustrating things is watching the game and you know you're standing on the outside and put absolutely no impact on what the result might be. But saying that is, I'm so proud of the way the players conducted themselves, how they've been ambassadors of a country. And looking at the matches itself, except the off the pitch stuff, on the pitch, we just found a way, even when we play extremely, how can I say, ugly, we find a way to win even in the most dire circumstances.
Hi, Skok, it's Herman Mostert here. How are you doing?
Fantastic, Herman. Thank
great.
You.
Great. Nice to speak to you. Listen, Skok, obviously you're not part of the team like you were 4 years ago, but you did spend some time in Paris, and I know you caught up with a few of the guys. I don't know. For me, it seems like there's a certain, not an arrogant, but a certain aura about this team that is different perhaps in years gone by. And maybe, do you think maybe that, maybe it's a fair reflection, or and you think maybe that's probably what pulled them through, you know, in the quarterfinal against France? You know, they were up against it for so long, but they just kept believing, kept trying. And then obviously against England, they were up against it again. Is there something intangible about that side that you can't almost put into words?
Definitely the thing is belief, right? Mm. You need belief from any team. You can sometimes have the best players, but you don't get the results. And belief comes from a process. Beliefs come from winning games and tight games. And in this team, I've seen how the pressures back home has galvanized our side. I don't know if you watch Chasing the Sun, but it's a true reflection of what we believe in that team. And I think it's still the case today is we want to show South Africa, irrelevant of race, of background, of religion, of where you grew up, that if we are willing to work together, the end product is amazing. And so the bigger cause is not about just winning a rugby match or winning a World Cup. It is actually giving hope for our country. And if we've got that mental outlook, it's then quite easy to play the game we called rugby. Because I've seen that, with all due respect, with all political parties or politicians, sport has got the power to unite more than anything I've ever seen.
Yeah, definitely. Skok, I'd just like to make a comparison. Obviously, 2019, you fulfilled a specific role in that team. Now we've got another player there in Dion Fury. Not old in years, but I think probably fair to say old in rugby terms. Dion, obviously, he was, 36 years old when he made his test debut. He himself admitted it. He never would have dreamt that he would have played for the Box, you know, given how his career panned out. What do you make of Dion Fury's story, you know? He played overseas for so long and then came back to the Stormers, won URC with the Stormers. Now he's into the Springbok team and on the bench and potentially could play a critical role. So firstly, your views on Dion and his journey and then secondly, do you think if need be, if Bongi maybe gets injured early on, are you confident that Dion would be able to anchor the Box scrum for a concerted period in that final?
Okay, firstly, let's go back to earlier days when we played for the Stormers together. We went on many a trips, social and rugby trips together. And firstly, you have to look at the character of the individual. He's always been a great team man. He's been a pleasure to have around. And he's just a good old person, I would say, with great values. And then if you look from a rugby perspective, yes, in South Africa, we do not normally pick the biggest guys. We always want to pick the biggest guys. And myself and Dion has never fallen into that sort of box, that KFC box that goes to Durban, I guess. And I boxy. So from that perspective, I mean, a lot of us had to go abroad to get the recognition in South Africa, and he's done it in a way that he went to France, moved positions, although he did play a bit of flanker back in SA. And the way he's looked at the whole thing is just way better than I could ever do it. He's playing a phenomenal game of rugby, and secondly, he's bringing relevance to the team in a way of what how important it is to life. Look, it is at the end, we're extremely passionate about rugby and we love the game, but it's still just a sport. So, I mean, there's things a lot more important than a game of rugby, and that's family, friends, and the people around you. But sometimes you lose perspective when you're in your younger years. And on your last question about can he do it, definitely Rassi and Jock and the coaching team wouldn't put him in a position where they think he can't do it. So I've got full faith in Rassi's selection. I've got full faith in the team. And I think it's similar to 2019 to where we are today. I never doubted for one second that we couldn't win the World Cup, but they had to go a lot of work and we did need a bit of luck.
Regardless of what happens on Saturday, Skulk, it is in some ways the end of an era, you know, the end of the Rassi and Jacques era. Jacques obviously off to Ireland at the end of this tournament. Rassi potentially sticking around for a little bit longer. We don't know. Dwayne Vermeulen's obviously retiring. We don't know what's going to happen with Sia and with guys like Faf de Klerk, Willy LaRue. You know, I think it's personnel-wise, it could look different at the end of this tournament. And even if it doesn't, it's still the end of an era because Jacques leaves. Help us understand Jacques specifically. I mean, we all know Rassi. We talk about him a lot. But help us understand Jacques' contribution to Bok rugby over the last 6 years.
If I can sum it up in a very short voice note, it would be the unsung hero.
Yeah.
He's a type of guy that's never looked for the accolades. He just goes quietly about doing his job and doing the best that he can do. And from that perspective, if you've got someone that is a leader that doesn't want recognition, the team loves him. And the team has always, he's always had the best interest of the team above himself. And so from that perspective, it's a sad but great era of Springbok rugby that will see changes after 2023. And I think that is just the natural, or that's the way I've looked at it. It's also just the natural way of progressing to the next chapter, right? So in 2019, we had to say goodbye to French and Beast. And after this World Cup, we'll say goodbye to another couple of players. And we did it in 2015. We did exactly the same with saying goodbye to Scott Berger, Jean de Villiers, Fury, and name it. So yeah. that's just life.
Yeah, I suppose one of the things that we always have in this setup with you guys is that when one leaves, there's another one arriving. I mean, the Bok depth seems like it's at an all-time high at the moment that, you know, regardless of who goes down or who leaves, there's another equally competent player able and ready to step in.
Yeah, and that doesn't happen naturally. Yes, we've got an unbelievable talent pool in South Africa. But there needs to be definitely a plan and processes in place to develop players, keep the passion high, and make sure that the players become what they are today. So you have to give credit to the organization of SRA for doing that, and then definitely the passion of the South Africans that rugby is still loved, I guess, the way it's loved in SA.
Yeah. And just looking at this weekend in particular, Scott, are you in France yet or are you on your way today?
I'm flying at 6 o'clock. Go Booker. Okay. I absolutely can't wait.
Have you found a way into the change room there, Skulk?
I prefer not to be in the change room. Now it is the next generation of supporting and going crazy. But no, I will have a couple of beers with the boys afterwards and keep my distance because, yeah, sorry, my era was there and is done.
Yeah.
Now it's these boys to shake and bake.
And having had a week like this, you know, 4 years ago, what is that week like? Give us a sense from the outside, you guys who wouldn't know. Is it a feeling of calm and confidence in what you've been working towards? Or is it kind of just like crazy tension and nerves, intensity? I mean, what kind of mindset are you guys in building up in a week like this?
I think if you don't have confidence in the guys next year, it could be quite a nervy week. But I can remember the first meeting we get into in the final week, and Rassi posed the question to us as players, what are we changing for this weekend? And, you know, everyone's got an idea what to change. And Rassi said, we're changing absolutely nothing. You know, changing game pattern. If you want to go have a coffee, if you want to go have a steak and chips, do it. Because this is a big game, but don't use enough emotional energy on the result that you can't you don't have a direct impact in it, although you're going to play in the game, but make sure you treat it like any other game. But saying that, it is a World Cup final. It is players get nervous and they think about it and they sleep maybe a little bit less than you normally do. But from my perspective, I was just so confident in the players around me and the coaching staff around me or the Springboks. And so from that perspective, that gave us a lot of confidence into that. And people think you train more in the final week. We only had two training sessions in 2019.
Yeah.
And the boys rocked.
Yeah. Skalk, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to chat to us. Thank you for being one of the good guys of Bok Rugby. It's a good trip coming your way. I hope you enjoy it. Well deserved. And yeah, geez, enjoy the game tomorrow night.
Well done. And lots of love here. And go Bokka.
Cheers, cheers, cheers. Herman, that's it. We've chatted to Corne, we've chatted to Skalk. Good. I mean, it's going to be close tomorrow. I think we can safely assume that. I mean, would you agree? It feels like, you know, the people I'm talking to on the streets and in between stories and things like that, it really does feel like it's very close and a coin. My answer now when people are going, who's it going to be? I'm saying it's also a coin.
Yeah, probably true. You know, a lot of people have begged the Boks to not put them through what they did in the quarterfinals and in the semifinals. Obviously, 1 point wins, but it's probably going to be exactly the same. You know, if they're going to win, it's going to be between 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 points. It's going to rain. It's going to be wet, so it's going to be an attritional type of game. Tactical kicking is going to be very important. And it might just be a penalty goal here or there, conversion slotted here or there that makes a difference. But we've got the players to do that. I think they've picked the right team. Yes, they've taken a risk with the bomb squad. Let's hope there aren't any big injuries across the board early on in the game, because then they could get in trouble with a few backs, forwards maybe forced out to play in the back line. But if that doesn't happen, then I think we might just edge it.
Yeah, yeah. Kickoff, of course, is 9 o'clock on Saturday night, and you know they've put themselves there. That's all you can really do is get yourself in the final. You know, they've done all they can preparation wise, and on some level, it just comes down to the bounce of a ball here, refereeing call there, and obviously what you deliver on the day. Anything can happen. This has been a special edition of the Inside Pass. We'd like to thank Corne Kriecher and Skalk Brits for joining us for a chat, and we'd like to thank the lads from Sunset Sweatshop for joining us. We're going to play out with one of their songs. Wherever you are this weekend, enjoy the rugby, get behind the South Africans, and don't forget to check out News 24. We'll be bringing you all of the action as it happens from Paris. This is the Inside Pass. All the best and cheers. South Africa, step out of the window and into the sun. South Africa, South Africa. Share your heart with the land we love. Share your heart with the land we love. Share your heart with the land we love. South Africa, South Africa. Come with me, my sister. Will you be my sister? I see children laughing. I see children play. South Africa, South Africa, step out of the window and into the sun. South Africa, South Africa. South Africa.